Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Screen Strong Families podcast, bringing you the best solutions for parents who are serious about eliminating screen conflicts in your home. Hi, this is Melanie Hempe, and I hope everyone is doing well today. If you're new, we're so glad that you found us. And if you've listened to us, we're so glad you're back. I just wanted to mention that I just got off the phone with my good friend, Victoria Dunkley, Dr. Victoria Dunkley. She is the author of Reset Your Child's Brain, a 4-week plan to end meltdowns, raise grades, and boost social skills by reversing the effects of electronic screen time. Wow, we love this book. This book is going to be our April book of the month in our Screen Strong Families group. So be sure to join that Facebook group. It's called Screen Strong Families. And we just love Dr. Dunkley, and she has helped so many families in our group. And speaking of the group, she was so excited about our Facebook group. I'm like, thank you so much, because she was so complimentary about how parents are helping each other. And she said, Melanie, this is exactly what we need and what we have been looking for parents to be able to jump in and just speak about their experiences and help the mom and dad that are finding themselves just kind of in that deer in the headlight moment in your life, like I was. And I said, yeah, Vicki, I know. It's just like with my oldest kids, I wish so badly I had other parents around me, because I was so lonely and I was so lost. I had no idea what I was doing. So anyway, for all y'all out there that are in our Screen Strong Families group, good job. Keep it up. Dr. Dunkley says, go team. She's so excited. And she's had so many great things to say about the comments that people were making. And she said, you know, like I would read one of the posts and I would think, oh, they should say this or that. And then someone would come in and say it. So she was so excited about that. So speaking of our group, we do have a lot of parents in the group. And today we're going to hear from one of those parents, and we are just very honored to have Adrian with us today. And we are doing this podcast as part of our Screen Strong Families series, where we have parents come in and actually share their stories. Sometimes we have professionals and sometimes we have parents. So welcome, Adrian. We're so glad you could join us today.
Thank you, Melanie. I am so excited to be on talking with you about this really important issue that many parents are facing.
It is so critical and it's so important. And just to get us started, give us a little bit about your background, just a little bit. You have two children, is that right?
Yes, I have two children, a boy and a girl. My son is 15. My daughter is 17.
And tell us a little bit about your story. Why are you passionate about this issue? And tell us what happened.
We had always been trying to limit screens in our home, but we definitely had them in our home. And my kids played video games were exposed to video games at a very young age. We didn't necessarily introduce any type of iPad until later, but they have those little leapfrog things. And I remember my son always asking me for a DS, handheld DS, and I would always say no. And and he would go over friends' homes that had, you know, more computer games and platforms than we ever did. Mm-hmm. And so we were always active with sports, and we were probably the overscheduled family, very much so, of trying to keep both kids that were fairly close in age and both very active children. Involved in all different types of learning things.
Right. So they're 2 years apart. Is that right? Your kids
are 19 months apart.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. Well, there's some sort of star that you get for that. That's hard to do. I totally understand. And I totally know what you mean about the overscheduling thing. But with two of them that close together, it's going to feel a little bit hard. I know about that overscheduling thing, but you know what we tried not to overschedule. So then my son just got addicted to video games instead. So, I think it's better maybe to overschedule. I don't know. Just right. saying.
There is definitely some sort of balance out there. And yeah. I think every parent kind of struggles to find what works for their family and what works for their kids.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you kind of get into an uncomfortable space, and then you realize that, you know, you pull back a little bit yeah. in something.
Right.
But anyway, so my son, you know, he was very active, did, you know, flag football, baseball, soccer as he was growing up. But we started noticing he had a strong personality, and he was very active, and we started seeing that he was having some difficulty with social relationships. And this started, you know, in elementary school, but it wasn't enough. He didn't ever get really in trouble. The teachers would say, you know, he's just very quick. He does all his work and then he's done, and he's, you know, could be a little bit disruptive or not, or maybe they would get him, you know, to do something to be helpful, sure. which he loved. But we started noticing that he was having some difficulty in social relationships. Mm-hmm. So we kept him in team sports, and we kept trying to work with him on that issue. And we even had him in a little bit of therapy, and we had asked, I had been exploring at fifth, sixth grade, if, you know, possibly he had ADHD. Mm-hmm. And I even went and got him tested. I think in fifth grade, I got him tested.
Right.
But it was tested through the TOVA, like a TOVA method. It was a computerized oh. test mm-hmm. that to see if the attention went down. Well, I vividly remember the doctor saying, well, funny thing is your son, once he realized he went down, his accuracy actually improved, which is not, you saw, it's not typical at all. He's like, I don't think your son has an attention, you know, problem at all.
I'm thinking passing the test way yeah, too good.
Yeah, he actually improved his attention, and he was able to stay way up. And so at first I was like, oh, okay. You know, and I crossed that off my concern list. And then mm-hmm. we just kind of kept having issues come up that, you know, affected friendships and, mm-hmm. you know, and affected his self-esteem. And so then we got into middle school. He was very bright. And so he, you know, he got overwhelmed, though, with feeling a lot of pressure mm-hmm. in school. So I knew something was up. So I kept trying to figure that out. And finally, I got the school to agree to do, like, have the teachers do a self-report, a teacher report. And we did a parent report, and, you know, we had him screened for ADHD with a psychiatrist actually it was a neurologist. Mm-hmm. And then it was confirmed, you know, he was diagnosed at 13 with attention deficit hyperactivity with, I guess it's the inattentive type. Mm-hmm. So he had a problem with focusing. Mm-hmm. And all that time.
Yeah, during this time, was he playing video games? Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah, explain yes. that. Yeah.
Yeah. So throughout that time, he had been playing video games, and he would use, you know, our laptop. And, you know, it was the laptop, and it would be a little computer. And then we ended up getting him, I think it was an Xbox. And he played on that, and we always kept those out of his room, which I think was one of the best things ever. Yeah. Yeah. But we always kept it out of the room, and we were able to fight with the limits, which right. was an ongoing battle. It just kept going, getting more and more. Yeah. But what we noticed was, as he was having difficulty with social relationships, he would then turn to his game to cope with that difficulty. Like, so that would fill in the space of, hey, let's go do something with your baseball team. And, oh no, I don't want to do that. Or he started less and less wanting to be involved because he was uncomfortable in a group situation. Mm.
Yeah. I was going to say, explain like a little bit, like, was he awkward? You felt like he, cause I know exactly what you're talking mm-hmm. about. I with my son too, boys mm-hmm. sometimes can be a little awkward anyway. They, not all the time, but Sometimes they can just, you know, girls just talk all the time, right? They're just chatty Cathy, talking to people all the time. But how did that present itself? Like,
you know, he was very, he was very active and very competitive in sports, you know, and during recess, you know, he loved being out there because he needed that time to let out some energy.
Yeah.
And it was probably some anxiety or, you know, about getting, you know, that he was feeling because he couldn't focus. And he was kind of overcompensating. He was very, very bright. So he would do everything. And it was something he couldn't tell us that he was struggling with.
Oh,
but he definitely struggled with it. And we didn't necessarily know how to help him.
Right.
And we would just tell him, you know, just you try, you know, be, you know, listen to the teacher, be good, be nice to your friends, you know, work together, collaborate. But we always knew he had a problem with, you know, collaborating with others. You know, he would want things his way, or he would, you know, not really want to give in if something happened where he thought someone was cheating on something. He very much a rule follower. And in that way, he was bright and competitive. But, you know, sometimes, you know, if he didn't cooperate with a lot of people, you know, that started the tolerance of his friends started to go down.
Yeah, because I don't know why when you're the rule guy trying to make sure. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. And when you're playing video games a lot, that's a real tendency because in the game world, you know, there are a lot of rules.
Right. And you follow them and then you win.
Well, if you don't, then you die. So.
Right. And so his frustration level was very short. And that's for himself as well as for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so once he was diagnosed with ADHD, I delve into that realm of that diagnosis and try to learn as much as I could about that and figure out what that meant for him and how it, you know, how we could help him and what we needed to do to address that. So I kind of got lost in that, and that focus of figuring out how ADHD manifests in my son. And I learned it was a developmental disorder that it involves his frontal lobe and his executive functioning and all these, you know, decision-making things. And in the meantime, he had been playing games and had been playing with friends. Like I said before, he slowly started withdraw as it got more difficult for him to interact because of this anxiety. I think that that the ADHD had provided like a low level anxiety and the games as he was playing, which we didn't realize was exacerbating that anxiety. And so as he went into his freshman year and he, you know, got on a freshman baseball team and was involved in that, he put a lot of pressure on himself to do very well and in both sports and academic, and he did. And then he got injured. He got plantar fasciitis in both feet.
And so
then that made him stop playing baseball.
Oh, no.
And so then he struggled with trying to recover. We went to physical therapy, and he was very much wanting to be involved. He didn't necessarily want to stop playing sports. He wanted to, but then the pain level in his feet was too much for him.
Sure.
And then the feedback, which is normal feedback, was that, you know, he was faking it. It didn't hurt. You know, look at him. He's, you know, 6 foot tall and athletic looking and fast. And, you know, the competitiveness in him wanted to run. And so he ran through a lot of pain and then it just became where he just stopped.
Yeah.
And he just said, I can't do it.
Yeah.
And so then we were, you know, working with the coaches on that and trying to figure out, okay, we're just going to take some time off and get him back.
Yeah.
Well, during that time off, he started playing more video games and he was coping a lot. He used that as a way to maybe avoid probably our disappointment that he wasn't playing, his own disappointment that he, you know, wasn't able to be physically active.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got through the first semester of freshman year. Academically, he did very well. He was 3.8, did well in all his classes, you know, no problems in the classroom. And really no problems athletically, except for his own injury.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was, is that he was playing more and we go on vacation. And that's where we kind of noticed that he was really upset that we were going on vacation, because then he wanted to play the video game.
Doesn't that kill me?
Yeah. And so we went on vacation and it wasn't the right setting for him in one sense, but it was something that we went and he just shut down. He stayed in his room. We went for a cruise. We were going for a cruise. So we were kind of going for like a Caribbean cruise, mm-hmm. to try and, get some sun during the winter, even though, sure. in Southern California, we have a bunch of sun.
Yeah.
And he essentially shut down and he was, very depressed, and it was, we couldn't get him out of the room. I think he went out of the room a few times, but did not want to be around crowds. Mm-hmm. Did not, he self-isolated a lot. He was very upset and angry with us for taking him on this cruise when he could have been playing his game. And
I know, I'm sorry.
So,
I know. This is so weird that you're saying this, because the exact thing happened to us. I can't even believe when you just said cruise, this happened. And the reason why your son was probably upset, the same reason why mine was, when we, were the mean parents that, mm-hmm. took him on a cruise. I mean, mm-hmm. really, it was because they didn't have the internet that he could get on, and he couldn't bring his game. I mean, I'm assuming, right. that your son didn't, mm-hmm. have his game, right?
Right. He didn't have his game, because I refused to bring any electronic.
Of course.
So we had our phones. He, mm-hmm. had his phone still, and he, watched a lot of movies the whole, wow. time. And, wow. so he refused to play any, to do any of the excursions we had previously booked. The cruise ship was very nice and allowed us to cancel most of those for him. Yeah. And we kind of thought, oh, well, maybe he'll come around, and he didn't. And so we get home, we start back at school, and his anxiety level is again going, through the charts.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying to us, I don't know about school, and I don't think I'm going to be in school. I don't want to go to school. And he made it back in January, and then he started missing, just not being able to go to school because of anxiety.
Mm. Was he gaming still a lot?
He was at that point. He had a gaming computer. We had bought him one, I think, before his 14th, around his 14th birthday, which is May. Mm-hmm. So from May to the end of the year in December, he's crashed at December. It does, it didn't take him that long to get a different type of gaming activity in that we didn't realize what we were bringing into our home,
mm-hmm.
was one thing. And then the screens, and then all the hijacking of his brain just really took off with the gaming computer.
Mm.
So we go back to school, and he can't go back to school. And the school's telling me, he's got 12 absences, wow. per semester. Otherwise, he has to withdraw. He had met almost 12 of those at the end of February. Mm. And we just decided to pull him, because he just could not. We'd drive up, he'd get dressed, he'd be ready for school, and then he couldn't go.
Mm.
And he couldn't verbalize other than to say, I can't go in there. And part of that too was that a lot of the baseball players and friends were saying, couldn't understand why he disenrolled from the, or he got out of the baseball.
Sure.
And why didn't he want to play? And so he had to tell people that he was injured.
Right.
Or that he couldn't play. And yet he's walking around and they're wondering, sure. This doesn't make sense.
Up.
And so he became more and more isolative at school. Mm-hmm. So he would hide in the library and he would tell me, you know, I just do my homework in the library. And then, you know, because he just couldn't even interact with anyone at that point.
And he had lost his main village, you know, his tribe, which was the baseball team. Right. And he had lost that. So he was probably grieving over that in the middle of all of this.
Yes, that's exactly right. He didn't know how to fit in. Where did he fit in school?
But he fit into the game really well.
Yes, he fit in there very well. Mm-hmm. We enrolled him into a online school. And throughout this, we're trying to bargain with him. Mm. You know, we're enrolling you in this online school. You need to, you know, we need to get back on track. We need to figure this out. And also another factor in this, I guess, his breakdown was that he had the wrong ADHD medication. Oh. So he was being overstimulated with this ADHD medication. It was affecting him in that way. So he's got, you know, his injury, ADHD medication was just the wrong type of medication for him. And then the screens. So all these different little factors that kind of culminated into this like perfect little storm that just created this.
Yeah. And then, you had, you know, the baseball thing. And I want everybody to hear that because that is so critical. It's such a big part of teenagers and their lives and their sports. You know, I used to think that sports really weren't that important. And I thought, well, you know, if they want to do them, but now my whole tone has changed on that. And it really is, I won't say it has to be mandatory, but Angela Duckworth in her book Grit will say that it's mandatory. And she'll say that kids have to in high school have at least two extracurricular activities for 2 years in a row, doing the same thing for 2 years in a row. And that this is just the research. This is volumes of years of research that shows that kids that are involved in sports and extracurricular activities do so much better. And you're describing kind of the core of why that's so important, that if they have vulnerabilities in other areas, that is such a protective factor for them. So when that's off the calendar, then they dive into things, you know, that are, you know, other things get bigger and they dive into things like video games.
And I think for him, I think for my son, he didn't know how to cope with not being able to be physically active the way he wanted to be. Mm-hmm. Not be able to excel the way he knew he could.
Sure. His identity was being built doing that. And the idea of having to start over is too overwhelming. It's overwhelming for everybody, much less a teenager.
Right. And so he was, you're right. He lost his identity of who he was, and he was scrambling for something else. Mm-hmm. And he was finding himself in a game.
Yeah. Which is a dead end place to find yourself.
and we were watching this, not knowing how to stop it. And then COVID hit, of course. COVID hit in March. Towards the end of March, we got all the restrictions in California. And so in one sense, it was a blessing. And another, it wasn't. Because, you know, he was out of school and he was online. And yet everyone all of a sudden was online and out of school. So in one sense, it helped with
not being the only one.
Not being the only one, right?
We're going to all be miserable together.
And so, and then my husband, luckily my husband, could all the businesses shut down. So he had a home office. He really kind of had to take point with organizing the online school for our son. And that was a struggle. I'd come home from work and he would be just like, oh my gosh, you need to stay home. I can't do it. And so we would kind of tag team. I ended up getting like some leave at work and we would struggle through this. When I look back, we struggled through this online, four courses of online all the way through to July because the school kept like accommodating us and us trying to get him to finish his projects or his, you know, assignments. And all the while, he was playing his video games. And were just at a loss. And I think at that point, it was, okay, I'm ready to just stop. At that point, I realized that I'm making school more important than really where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, you know, he can't do online. And, mm-hmm. and here we are in shutdown. And I thought, you know what, if he lost a whole year of school, so be it. You know, if I have to quit my job and I have to stay home with him and start taking him, you know, anywhere on long drives to get him out of the house, I would do it. My husband and I, you know, we both got to that point.
Wow.
You know, we had taken his computer out of the house in February because we were thinking, okay, he's not going to school in February, thinking it's because of the computer. But there wasn't enough time for his brain to reset, for him to go back to school. At that point, he was too far down and he couldn't write himself. So we ended up giving, you know, bargaining with him, and we gave him back his computer for the online course. And again, you know, a mistake. And so then in July, as he was finishing with his schooling, and we realized, you know, he passed one of the four classes in that whole, like, 5 month period. I think we were a little defeated. We were just like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
and we just said, okay, this isn't working. And so I just said, I'm taking the computer out. And so I took everything out as far as his computer and his screens, and we took everything out of our house. He had a meltdown. I mean, he obviously was very upset, but it was more of he got super depressed.
Yeah.
And it was a scary place to be at when you're seeing your son, six foot one son, in bed, not able to get out of bed.
I know.
And seeing, you know, the fragility of your child, not only physically and I mean, just emotionally. And it was a very difficult place to be in. And what got me and my husband through it was I was able to empathize with, really see that it was, you know, that my son was having a really difficult time. He needed us to just to be in it with him,
right,
to say, it's okay. You know what? You're having a hard time and we're just going to do something else. We're going to figure it out together and we're going to get through it. I guess I want to stress to parents that when you're in this place with your child that you never thought you'd be in, that no one could really ever understand unless they're standing right there with you. We're just going to figure it out. And this is our first step. We're going to, you know, take the screen out and we're just going to take a break. At that point, he still had his iPhone. So he slowly started coming out of his room and we got him involved in a one-on-one school. He started, you know, interacting with the teachers. And so initially it was online. So we had to go and pick up a computer. And initially he was very good about not playing games on the computer. He knew it was only for school, and that's what it was.
So let me interrupt you a second. That's what I wanted to ask you. When you took it away and he was in, you know, depressed and all that you mm-hmm. were just describing, what was his understanding? Like, did he tell you that he knew he had a problem with gaming? Did he tell you you were crazy? You know, did he tell you that, I mean, did you go through a cycle of the denial and then the bargaining and, you know, kind of that whole grief cycle that people go through with gaming? I mean, what would you say his attitude or his understanding of what was happening was?
Oh yeah, no, he called me crazy and he said, you know, I didn't understand. He told me that all his friends, you know, were playing and that I was taking away his only friends now, and that he didn't believe that he had a problem at all. You know, when I see it, he was more grasping of, this is my only thing that I have. And that's what he told me. I have this only. Yeah.
Because it had become that in his mind, of course, and from what you described in your story of the baseball sort of falling away and these other things happening, you know, the anxiety, that it kind of builds, and it does feel like it is the only thing. And they do go through this stage of grief, is what you're describing, the denial, first of all, you know, no, mom, you're crazy, you know, you have no idea what you're talking about, you know. If you're talking to your friends about gaming addiction, they're wrong, they're nuts, mm-hmm. it doesn't mm-hmm. exist, you know, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And then they get angry, and then it's bargaining and
right.
more depression. And then the acceptance comes at some point. But it sounds like he was going through those stages.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was very upset. And so then he started doing a few things. He would bargain and try and see. We took the gaming computer to my sister's house, and so he knew it wasn't even an option of it just being in the other room, mm-hmm. that he could have it again.
Yeah.
At that stage, and like around July, August, he said, you know, what do I have to do to get my gaming computer mm-hmm. back?
He's in the major bargaining stage.
Major bargaining stage. And I wasn't versed enough yet. I was still in that. I was having people tell me, you know, you can have this type of structure with your child of, you know, if you do this, then you get this as a reward.
Yeah.
So he, you know, he immediately wanted to know what he needed to do to go to get his
drug.
Yeah. Back. Yeah. And so we told him, I said, you need to get into this other program, the school program, you need to focus and you need to get A's. Mm-hmm. And that was my basic, you know, bargaining. You need to, mm-hmm. you know, this level of function, you need to get back into being able to go to school, attend, interact with a teacher and have the outcome come out good.
And you knew that he had done that before, so you weren't asking too much. And
Yeah. And as we were going through this online school with him, we realized at that point when he was starting to game a little bit on the computer that this wasn't going to work. Because at that point with COVID, all the schools were closed, and possibly, you know, they were going to open maybe twice a week. I said, I'm ready to just stop his classes. They said, no problem, you can stop his classes. I said, we're going to withdraw for a little bit. The classes will be there. They assured me we can stop it and no penalty. He can restart whenever he was ready. Then, you know, right when I was going to disenroll, they said, well, wait, you know, we got back in person. We got the green light. We can go in person. And at that point, I said to them, okay, so you provided us this laptop. You know, he doesn't need the computer because he's doing all his homework at school, at the center. And they're like, well, yeah, but the computer is yours to use, have at home. And I said, well, you know what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to let him know that since now it's full days to that they're going to collect the computer and that he doesn't need to take it home.
Yeah.
And so that's what they did. And instead of me saying it was my choice, initially anyways,
right.
I had the school present it to him. And then of course he caught on rather quickly and said, wait a second, after the first week, I'm the only one turning in their computer.
Right.
And I'm the only one checking it out. What's going on? And I said, you know, this is the school. It's set up to this. There's no reason you need it.
Yeah.
And this is, I did request that. And that's how it's going to be. And he's just like, and he tried, you know, they tried to like say, no, well, I'm not going to go to school. And all I said was, fine, don't go to school. We'll, mm-hmm. I'll put in the withdrawal. You know, we can wait until you're ready.
Yeah.
You know, and then that way, you know, he says that to me on the weekend. And then by the Monday, I think he missed one day of school. And I had let the administration know of this power play he was trying to make. You know, if he's not going to go a week, I don't want to lose any more classes than I have to. Mm-hmm. Just disenroll him.
Yeah.
And let's just take a month off. And they were very supportive. They were like, well, you know, we'll give you a week. If he doesn't come back to us in a week, then, you know, we'll do what you said and we'll completely disenroll him.
Right.
And luckily he took one day and then he was back at school.
Good.
So he was able to reset himself enough and know that I was I was serious mm-hmm. that I wasn't going to negotiate with him
right
about his school.
That's a really
anymore.
Good point.
So we're struggling through this through July, August, and September. And then I'm constantly looking for things to help me. I'm a podcast junkie. I'm always sharing podcasts with other people. They probably don't even want to listen to maybe one of the many I've sent to them. I started reading audiobooks. I always, you know, looked into seminars. I was constantly looking at different ways to help my child and to help me too. I took up meditation many years ago.
Save yourself.
I was also doing a bunch of self-help. Luckily, I had that frame of mind of always searching for things. And then that's where I came across some podcast that mentioned Colin Karchner's name. I looked him up and downloaded his podcast right away. And the first interview I heard was yours, Melanie. And I was floored. I thought, oh my goodness, here's a child who was a straight A, who was a typical child, but, you know, gamed and was able to manage all his own things until he went to college. And he lost the structure, essentially. He lost his structure. And he couldn't create it for himself because he didn't know how. And I heard about your group about the Facebook group. And so immediately I joined. And honestly, I was listening to Colin's podcast. I was looking at the Facebook group and I was thinking, here it is here, you know, cause we were struggling at that point with bargaining with our son and knowing that I did not want to bring this computer back into my house. And yet I had said to him, I would do it. All he had to do was this, and he was doing his stuff. And we had been struggling with it and trying to find our way out of this, like, swamp, trying to find where's land. And all we were just like trudging through mud and trying to find something to get our footing on this issue. And we, you know, honestly, I do want to say how important it is to find resources, but also to get what your child needs. Like to make things happen if they need to. Like since he wasn't physical, he lost so much of his muscle tone and his physical abilities, and he became overweight, which, you know, no one, if they knew him before, he was a rail, and they would not have recognized him. So what I want to stress is that when you're on this path of trying to help your child, you have to put in, not only does he need the family support and the family needs the resources like Screen Strong, but you also need, you know, emotional supports of other adults that can be supportive to your child and give them the same message of you can do this. I'm going to help. I'll be here for you. Mm-hmm. Not to necessarily parent, but to be right. Just someone that they can
trust,
have
adults.
Another adult that can have a good positive communication and self-regard with. Our son had agreed, you know, to exercise as well. Cause so part of the bargaining of only school was also that he had to exercise 3 days a week. And with the shutdown, he couldn't go to the gym. Not that he would have even set foot in a gym, but but he had to work out and do something. So he agreed to meet with this personal trainer that he had known before that had worked with him at a gym. So he knew him. He started doing that as well.
Well, and I just want to say real quick here, this is such a good point to make about boys, especially when they're gaming. They lose their muscle mass and become very weak. They definitely gain, you know, weight because it's more fat and not muscle. And because they're not building their muscle, they're not replenishing their testosterone, and they start making less testosterone. So when that happens, then there's this whole series of a downward spiral that happens when you have boy, they just get weaker and weaker.
Mm-hmm.
And so good for you for doing this exercise program. I know it sounds kind of silly and we get tired of hearing, oh, we got to exercise more, but this is critical for all kids, but especially for a boy that you're describing. This is so critical. So good for you.
Yeah. Because he went from baseball workouts 5 to 6 days a week to nothing.
Yeah, he's wasting away.
Yeah. To absolutely nothing. And it was always the pain of his feet, which I had plantar fasciitis. I still struggle with it a little bit. And so I understood that the crippling part of having that type of diagnosis of injury. But we just said, you got to do something. And he did. He liked his trainer, which was a plus. And then the anxiety, so he was fine. He was great with, and I had spoken to our personal trainer, to give him the backstory. So I did get on the phone with him and talk with him, and we were square. And he has been such an immense help. I mean, I cannot tell you how important this man is in my son's life right now. Like right now, I know that it's a relationship that could go on, that can go on past just working out.
Sure. That's so good.
But he knows that he's in his corner and he's going to be, saying, hey, he's got a fan of him, not just of him as a baseball player, not just him as a student, but him as a person.
Yeah.
And for my son to get that feedback from that person is priceless.
Yeah, that is so awesome that you're able to do that. And just for people that are listening, this, what you're saying is so critical. And as parents, it's our job, part of our job, I guess, to be thinking about who and what adult we want our kids to be influenced by, because there are many out there and they need their friends, but they really need adults more. Of course, they need parents first. But what you're describing, since your son is a little bit, older, he's not 10, right? So he's getting older, and this trusted adult kind of relationship with other adults is so fabulous. And we get that so well. And we get that with our kids' music teachers. I mean, one of their music teachers comes over here and plays basketball with them. Like, so they're not just like, and they go to their baseball games. Isn't that so cool? Can you imagine being in high school and having your music teacher come to your baseball game? I mean, that is like so cool to me. And
that
so,
is cool.
Yeah. And one thing I recommend, that if you have even a family friend that you have them over for dinner, start having potlucks, get your kids around your friends. We have one friend who is he has a son that is friends with our kids, but we love having the mom and dad and the son come over whenever our boys want to hang out with their son. You know, we make time to have other adult influences in their life. I'm so glad you brought that up. That is so important. So he has that now.
Yeah. And you get that too from your neighbors, and you don't recognize how important that is for them to, and especially like for my son who isolated for months, and refused to come out of the house, then to be able to go out and connect with friends and also connect with his friends' parents, they also are looking for that acceptance and that self-regard of I'm okay, and the parents being able to say, great to see you,
I know I do that with my boys, their friends, they come over to the house all the time, and I make a point to get to know their friends and kind of tag team with their parents. We have to have our tribe. We can't do this by ourselves. And what you were saying before, when you found Colin's podcast and you found the group and everything, you're so correct in describing that you can't get out of your swamp until you have a community. You just can't do it alone. And that's why we started this whole thing, because I knew what that felt like. And I can so relate to where you were. And I'm so glad you found us. And I'm so glad, because you lose your power, you lose your confidence, and you only get it back when you can be around people that have been there. Exactly. Right. What you said.
And you hit it right there. When I was reflecting on one of the points that I wanted to make when we're talking, is that what your group provided was to empower parents. Like, and that is exactly what it did. It gave us the tools. And I thought, it for anyone to go into any type of group, I mean, we're constantly, you know, you are alone when your child is struggling with something, because no other family can help you. And you look for others to help you because you don't know what you're doing. And you don't understand how to navigate something. And you look to professionals, which is great. I did look to professionals, and I got some great advice. I got great support. But it also taught me to continue to look for the things that fit, that are going to help, and not to give up. Not to give up, and just because one person didn't say, this is what you have to do. You know, like, oh, you just have to do this, and some of the professionals were like, well, you know, this is what I can do, and that's all I can help you with.
And you're still stuck.
And, you know, and maybe we could put them in a program, like a therapy program, and then you have a child who doesn't want to go into a program.
Nobody does. Yeah.
And you're thinking, well, you know, I don't want to force him, but I know he needs something. And what your group provides is that empowerment of being able to say, hey, we're here for you, and we've looked as well. Yeah. And we're here to say, just, you know, keep going.
Yeah.
Don't stop. That's just priceless to me. In no other group did I find this level. And it's funny, because it's in a social media group. And it's something that, you know, I didn't even want to be a part of anymore.
Me
after
neither.
Going through this.
Me neither. I'm like, I don't like social media.
And then to get, you know, but I think that this is so, so, so important. And I mean, I hope that this is like almost like a foundation of, here you go. Here's the empowerment and of the connection. The power of connection with each other, and the power of doing something and facing a, you know, hardship with support. And that I hope that can trickle out to communities.
Yeah, we just need to spread the word, and everything that you've described, I'm just so thrilled. And just for by listening, this is the first time that I've heard Adrienne's story. So I am so excited to hear it. I feel like there are so many people out there that need this message. But what I want you to talk about real quick, how is your son now, and where is he on his journey of, you know, the anger and the denial phase? Has he moved into his, you know, more of his acceptance phase? I mean, and how is he still not gaming now? And does he talk to you about it? Give us an update on that.
He is not gaming now. Well, in November, I took away their iPhones, my daughter and my son's iPhone.
Oh, I'll bet they love us now over here. Don't tell him my name.
Yeah. he was saying, all those people you're listening to, they don't know what they're saying.
You don't know.
Quit reading those books. And so, and honestly, you know, we would do that. We would have books of what we're reading laying out, just to kind of support, because he would say, you know, that everything you're doing, you're not thinking right, they're telling you the wrong thing. And I would try and get him to listen to a podcast, and he'd say, I don't want to listen to that.
Right.
And so I would, you know, I wouldn't force him.
Sure.
But I will have to say that sometimes as a parent, you have to be willing to go back on your word. Mm-hmm. And
well, to say you made a mistake, you know,
be willing to say you made a mistake, yeah, and that it's okay to change your mind and it's mm-hmm. okay to make mistakes. And so that's what we had to do with the computer. So we still didn't get the computer, and he did get very good grades.
Yeah.
Last semester.
Moved the mark a little bit there.
And, we took, you know, I think he was doing very well. I think the iPhone was our next layer because we could see that he was stuck again.
Yeah.
So with kids that use technology as a coping mechanism, they will switch from one to the next. So went to from his gaming computer to his iPhone. He was using it as definite coping mechanism. So we knew we had to take it away. And so we did the Screen Strong Challenge, and we just said, we're going to do this. I didn't necessarily say a 1 week. I think I told my daughter 1 week or 2 weeks, I said, and they counted every day. And then they asked if we would, they would get it back. And I said, you know, no, I said, you know,
what this we is working were, what so I, well.
Yeah. What I realized was that what we were doing wasn't working. And so we're going to do something differently. And so then I told them I'd order them phones, different phones that they could use. With kids that game and are screen dependent and use that as the main coping skill, I knew I had to get it away from him. And so that's what we did. And then he sort of reverted to television a little bit, not too bad.
Yeah.
But because we were able to put in limits for that, and we did definite limits. What I want to say is that we had taken his gaming computer away last July, and then we took the iPhones in November. So until we did that, he wasn't ready to go out and do anything.
Wow. Yeah.
So although his brain had reset a little bit, it wasn't fully. And I think that, you know, many parents can, I mean, Victoria Dunkley's book is amazing, and we listened to it. I listened to it so many times, and she has so many good points about and when you can see that it happening in front of your eyes, the reset, it's amazing. And then to recognize where you're still stuck and then what you have to still kind of go through. And so we did that. And so in December, he decided he was ready to invite a friend over. And so he did. And that was that was almost like the icebreaker. And then he started to go out. And then now we're here. And, you know, last week he offhandedly said to me, Mom, I want a mountain bike. And he's like, and I don't need any kind of fancy one. I don't even know, because he had not rode a bike since elementary school. He said, I think, you know, don't get me anything big, but, you know, I think I want to try it. And I said, okay. And I knew then that I needed to get something quick because, you know, before he changed his mind and said, I don't need it.
Expired his idea.
Yeah. Yes. And so I got him a mountain bike. Guy was selling a brand new bike boxed only. And he said, I can put it together for you or sell it to you in the box. And I thought, you know what? You know, all these posts, Melanie, you've posted so many things about how many things that your kids do. I can't imagine them. I am so amazed at what you've taught them. And so I said to my son, I found you a bike, but it's in a box and you're going to have to put it together. Yeah. And he's like, okay. And I said, and maybe, you know, our across the street neighbor, you know, is really into mountain biking. And I said, maybe your friend can help you. The next day I said, hey, you know, did you check with your friend? Can he help? Oh yeah, Mom, I already checked. It's under control. And I was like, oh, okay. Then he was asking me, when are you going to pick up the bike? And I was like, okay, I don't have time today, tomorrow. And so then we did that, and him and his friend put it together. He went on so many bike rides just from now until then. Once every day. I mean, it was amazing what he's doing and he does acknowledge how good it feels. And that's the other thing with gaming is the hijack of the brain, I think I want to say, is that it's a pleasure center. It hijacks their pleasure center, their dopamine, and the kids, when they get off of gaming, they don't have a pleasure in anything.
Right.
They find everything is
boring.
Reduced. Yeah. Everything's boring, or it's not of interest.
Right.
And I remember thinking, you know, actually seeing if my son would want a mountain bike a year ago. And he's just like, no, why would I do that?
I know. I'm sitting here and I'm didn't think I would need any Kleenex for this show. No. It's so emotional for me because I would have given anything for my oldest to just say those words, Mom, I want a mountain bike. And I don't mean to get emotional, but it sounds for people out there listening who, if you haven't been through this, you might think, you know, we've fallen off our loop here. But let me tell you, when you have a boy and that you know is supposed to be enjoying all these wonderful things about being a kid and growing up and being a teenager, and they're not, you just grieve. It's just, you're going through it with them. And if he had just said that, I don't know what I would have done. I'm so excited that your son found the wherewithal to say that he wanted a mountain bike. I mean, that's just gold, and that you actually got him one and that he got to put it together. And he has all this feeling of accomplishment that he did that. And then, oh my goodness, Adrian, when he gets out in nature now, see, this is such a big healer. Nature is incredible. It's such a healer for boys, especially.
His growth was, especially when we took him off the games, his growth emotionally and wasn't stuck anymore.
Right.
I mean, I think also like with him being having ADHD, you know, when I looked at ADHD, it's already tells you that your child's going to be 3 to 5 years delayed emotionally. They can be, you know, physically mature, but emotionally they're going to be a little delayed. And that stuck with me. And I thought, okay, I can look at my son a little bit and see, you know, okay, he's having a hard time and he's having like, you know, a tantrum, so to speak, as a 14-year-old because of, you know, his ADHD. But I didn't realize how much screens were playing into that tantrum and how the screens were actually making him more delayed.
Right. Oh no. And they get stuck. They like you said, they just get stuck in this immature phase and they can't get them.
At first we were blaming a lot of stuff on ADHD and trying to figure that out. And then recognizing once screens came in and we realized how much it was impacting him, the growth between July and now is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I don't want to stress up to parents who have neurotypical kids, if that their kid is having a meltdown and they don't have any other kind of issue, then that's very telling. And then also for the ones that do have autism or ADHD or whatever little thing that may make it more difficult, a learning disability, getting them off the screens is essential. He also said he wanted me to give him one of the books to read. He's like, okay, let me see one of those books to read. And I said, you know, even if I said I left both out, I left Breaking the Trance and Glow Kids out. And I said, even if you looked through those books to find a story about someone, I go, because these books are based on stories from other people, other families and other children, that he can at least look at and say, wow, okay. And the fact that he wants to educate himself.
That's so
and yes,
great.
He did say, you know, I want to educate myself. I want to read one of those books so you'll give me my phone back.
he's still bargaining, but that's okay.
He's still bargaining, but that's okay. And I just said to him, okay. I said, here's the books, but it's not a guarantee that you're going to get your phone back. I go, because I'm not ready for that. But you can definitely, you know, you can definitely read one if you want. They're here. You can, like, oh, I have podcasts you can listen to. You just let me know what you want to, what you're ready to listen to.
Well, when we get off, I'm going to get your address because I'm going to send you Will Your Gamer Survive College? That's the little book I wrote with Adam. Adam, actually, my oldest, he wrote the second chapter, and that will be really cool for him to read. It's very short. It's very easy to read in even an hour, 45 minutes, but it will be a story about what happened, you know, to someone very similar. And also, I think it would help him to read that because it'll kind of show what really the track that he was on, you know, because Adam ended up dropping out of college. And I don't know, he may be old enough to just read Adam's story and just say, wow, I'm glad I didn't end up there, or not. He might say, you know, that he was different, and that's okay.
Yeah, I think that even though your child may say something like reject something that you're offering, or even if it's, you know, these are the studies, or they are still listening, and they will, you know, and you don't have to over lecture. You can just introduce and say, wow, I just listened to this amazing podcast about, and they may just say, oh, you know, you and your podcast, mom, but they are still listening, and they're still, and the main thing is that they know that they're not alone.
Exactly. He's not going to feel like the weird guy out, you know, when he knows that there's other people that struggle with this. And I love what you just said, not to over lecture, because when we are doing our parenting role right, you know, when it's working, we don't have to over lecture because they trust us. And again, I go back to that coach's mentality, because that's what we use a lot now in our group and in the books that I write, because it works so well that you don't have to lobby your point anymore because you're the parent. And, you know, the collapse of parenting, or Leonard Sachs, he talks about how we hurt our kids when we treat them like adults, when we're all on the same level, and see, it just doesn't work. And the disrespect is there, and they don't trust us. And our goal, and what you have done for your son, is to get him to trust you. You know, our goal is not to trust our kids. A lot of people think that that's our goal. And I just want to say, no, our job is to get our kids to trust us. And that's what you did. And you were strict, but you were loving, and you were firm, but you were caring, and you had that unconditional love going on. And I love the way you describe that. And that's how this works. It's hard. I know it's hard to go through the challenge and to pull things away. But then after you do it, and after you experience that hard part, then you have a 15-year-old who wants a mountain bike. I mean, that is like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
That is something I never thought he would say. And I thought, because I was encouraging him often with trying to get him to, you know, let's ride a bike, let's do that. No. And then, and for him to say, mom, I think I want a bike. I couldn't believe. And then I just knew I had to act fast.
Yeah, really fast. Right. And, you know, and I think when you took the phone away, I think you were exactly right. You nailed it. He was still shifting some of that dependency over there. But once you took that away, it gave mm-hmm. him room to ponder and to think and to open up and have some white space and think about maybe what he would want to do instead of that. It's like a shift. It's a move. You're really relocating him from that screen world back to the real world. And honestly, of course, we know that the real world is so much more fun. But they've lost sight of that. And you are a great coach. And I need to give you some sort of badge. I need to give you a star.
Not at all. But
really,
the other thing too,
stars.
Another thing, Melanie, I wanted to say, just based on what you just said, is that I also, when I took away the phones of both my son and my daughter, and my daughter necessarily didn't have a problem too much. She had social media. She got very distracted with little games on her phone and mm-hmm. and over texting her friends. You know, one of the things that I said to my kids when I took their phone away is I emphasize the importance of building communication skills
mm-hmm.
And face-to-face and learning how to communicate with other people, not through text, and connecting with people when you're with them and not just focused on, look what I just posted, or look what this, or look at this funny video. And I just said to them, I said, because, you know, this phone isn't allowing you to learn those. And I And I said, and I know your friends are going to have their phones still. And that's, you know, that's their parents' decision. But this is what I'm, you know, hoping that you'll gain. I kind of led with that, and they fought it a little bit, but then they recognize it. My daughter's starting to recognize, oh, she recognized right away, like, you know, nobody wants to call me.
Yeah.
You figure My out son had no
friends
problem.
Are, right?
You figure out, yes. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, you definitely figure out who your friends are. And then you, you know, encourage them to make, you know, arrangements and go do something with their friends rather than being hijacked with their little Instagram feed and saying, no, that, you know, I think someone's busy. This makes her go out and see if someone make plans, do something, whatever you can do, be outside. We're still under restrictions. You still can organize something. And they do. And she's starting to do that more.
Right. And she's getting those in-person friendships. And because it's super devastating when a teenager realizes that all those people she thought were her friends really are not her friends on social media. They're not your friends. I mean, you might have a friend that you communicate with on a text sometime, but you can't build friends on social media. That has to be done in person. And it's so much better to learn that now than later. And then 5 years go by and you realize you really don't have any friends. And one of my friend's sons actually explained it really well. He had grown up, graduated from college, moved to his first job, and he had all his social media friends and he had a lot of local friends, and they were on social media though, but he had a flat tire at 1 a.m. on the highway one night. And he put a note out on his social media, someone please, you know, can you come help me? Do you know not one person responded? And he said, Mom, I don't have any friends. He said, because I know they're all up because they're I'm watching them talking to each other on their Snapchat and everything. And he said, but no one's responding to me. And that was, he said, social media is the death of our generation. I'm like, oh my goodness. That was such a telling thing for him. And I don't want to get up on that rabbit trail, but that's such a telling thing. And so what you're doing by taking these phones away for now, you know, delaying, pausing, whatever we want to call it for now, is just like your son went and got his mountain bike, your daughter's going to go figure out what it's like to build a friendship face to face in person. And those are going to be the friends that will stick.
Right.
And that, because it's the time that you're putting into that relationship. Yeah.
And it was interesting when I took the phone away, it actually did force her to connect more with people that she was keeping somewhat arm's length away.
Interesting.
We all have a need to connect, and we all have a need to be with other people and to work with other people. And the social media part is just, it kind of like makes you think that, oh, well, I am connecting. I don't need to impose on anyone or anything, but it causes a disconnection that you don't even realize.
Especially when you're young and you haven't even figured it out. So what you said a minute ago was brilliant, to tell them that we need to work on these skills, you know, these communication skills and these relationship skills, and then we'll do this phone thing later. That's really good. I'm really glad that you told your kids that. I think most kids would still look at their parent like they had three heads. Like, what are you talking about? So you have to kind of put your money where your mouth is, you know, your actions with your words. And I think that's where parents like me made all the mistakes out there. You know, I was telling my son something, but I wasn't backing it up with my actions. And we're hoping that the Screen Strong Challenge in the group really helps people get a handle on the action part, that call to action. I think that's what's been missing. We have to have and take it away.
Right. I mean, I think about, obviously my daughter's 17 and she's got a year, maybe a year and a half left at home until she goes up to college. And I just thought, I'd given her this iPhone when she was 13 or 12. I can't remember with her. And I thought, you know, so she's had it since then. She's had it for over 5 years and I'm going to take it away from her. And I thought, you know, I've missed. What did I miss during those years? And I thought, what do I want this next time I have with her to be like?
Right.
And especially what I want it to be like for her, not only my experience, but I want her experience to be so much more. I mean, and I've given up a lot. I've given up knowing, like, I didn't activate the GPS part of the phone yet.
Right.
But then I thought, you know what? I'm going to let her go a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because that's the other communication piece, is that instead of her realizing that I know where she's at all the time, mm-hmm. and that she doesn't have to check in with me, that my message is, I need you to check in with me.
Yeah. I'm not going to put a tracker on you. I'm not going to follow you around and helicopter all that business. What I need is for you to be an adult, to start, not be an adult, but to start practicing these adult life skills.
Right.
And you let people know when you're going to be late. You let people know when you leave the house. Right. So they're coming, you know, I'd tell that to my kids now. They ride their bike. I'm like, if you're not home in an hour, just let me know. You don't have to let me know where you're going every minute, but just kind of keep up with the people that you live with, you know, and that's a skill. That's a really important skill. I am so proud of everything that you've done. I'm just so excited for all the blessings that you're going to see here in the next few years with your kids. I'm thrilled that your daughter, you got about 50 more Saturdays with her to, you know.
Oh, don't say that. That makes I thought it was a lot more than 50.
Well, I don't know. That's a year, isn't it? I don't know. I'm not good at math. I don't know. Maybe you have a few more than that. I think you might have, I don't know, a few more, but somewhere right around there. So we have to look at it like we don't have that much time, and we want to fill it with the best foundation that we can. And you are so on the right track. And I am so excited for your son now, and that he is going to be able to get on that mountain bike and go on all his adventures. And there's some other things like that, you know, out there. Mm-hmm. So it opens the door. Once you open the door, then all these other things start happening, and he'll start meeting other people and friends that like to mountain bike. And guess what? They're probably not addicted gamers, because if they're really good at mountain biking, they probably are doing other things with their time. So it's a domino effect. What would you have as we wrap up here? Is there anything else that you want to share, or any kind of final tip? I know that you would recommend the challenge, it sounds like, so that's really good. But for the parents that are listening, is there any final thing that you want to say to a parent out there?
If you're feeling disconnected from your children, are you feeling like you don't know how to reconnect? Or you're feeling like there's something missing or going on, but you're afraid of facing something or changing something as big as your screen time, because it is a big shift in values. And what you're saying to your child when you shift your value away from the screen is that you value them more. And I think that for them to, they will know that. And I think that it's okay to be fearful, but it's not okay to have fear direct your actions, or lack of action. And I've been there, and I know exactly what fear feels like. And what I've wanted to share with my son, because he was fearful, that you can get through it, and you will have someone with you to go through it. I can't do it for you. I can't do life for you. I can't do that, but I can be with you, and I can help you find your way, because I'm not afraid of finding my way. To be okay with challenges, and to model that to your kids, that it's okay to be challenged. And then you can say to them, this is the challenge that I went through, and I can still be with you and yours. And it's amazing, because I think that's exactly what I built when you said you're building trust, and you're building that connection with your kids, that they can look at you with that trust of, you're going to help me. You know, it's different than a parent doing things and trying to pave a way for your child. It's, I'm going to walk beside you.
And then Adrian, what you've done also, and I love that piece of advice for parents out there, not to be, you know, operating off your fear, but to get the answers. But what you have done, the gift that you've given your son in building this brick of trust that you just laid down a huge foundation for, is he will now find it so much easier to come to you when he has another big problem in his life, which he will. Mm-hmm. We all do. I still do, right? So mm-hmm. it's super important for him to know, not just by something that you said, but by your actions of doing the hard work of taking the computer away, taking the phone away. You put your actions right there where your heart is, and he watched you do that. And he might have criticized you, but deep down he knows that you unconditionally love him. And deep down he knows, you know what? My mom and dad are pretty smart. And, you know, the next time I have a problem, it's going to be easier for me to talk to them. And the next time I'm having a big question about a life situation, it's going to be much easier for me to share. And I really trust that they kind of know what they're doing. And he's right. Going to be feeling that, whether he totally articulates that right now or not, it doesn't matter. That's what he's feeling. And so good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, he's still a teenager. He still tells me I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, that frontal cortex is, you know, it's not fully connected, so that's okay. But his trust for you, and that's why that parenting style works so well, the firm but loving parenting style mm-hmm. works so well. You have to have both. You have to have the firm and the loving. But what I love about it so much is that they can come to you later. Like you did it once, and mom and dad gave me the right information, even though I didn't like it at the time. So it's easier to get back. So you're just creating this wonderful foundation that's going to pay off years and years and years down the road. Thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you for listening.
Just touch so many people with your story. It's hard to share stories sometime of things that are happening in our life. And I just really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. And it's going to go save some more kids. These are the types of stories that really help people. So thank you, Adrian. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome, Melanie. I'm excited for everything that the future holds for my family and for this group.
Yeah. And if y'all need some help, you know, you can find Adrian and I both in the Screen Strong Families group. So thank you again, Adrian. I hope you all enjoyed listening today. Please share this podcast with your friends and head over to our website to learn more about our Screen Strong Challenge, and make sure you join our Screen Strong Families Facebook group. This is what Adrian and I have been talking about today. We're there to help families just like you navigate their way around the best solutions to get their kids back and re-engaged in the real world and back in your family. Remember, we have your back and we are here to help you. So until next time, stand up for your kids. Stand out from the crowd and stay strong.